The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Matt Eberflus is going to be the Chicago Bears head coach.
We'll be looking for leaders. Great teams have coaches that the players respect. You don't have to like them. They don't have to love them, but they respect them.
We are here to know what you think. Northside, Ralph, you're on the score.
Complete joke. I can't even believe it. This Eberflus, this is going to be Eberflus for the next... It's
Eberflus.
I know it's Eberflus. His nickname's going to be Eberflus because that's all that's going to be happening, and it's going to be the same crap as always. I'm sick of it.
Thank you, Ralph.
If you're Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator here for the Colts, this is not how you want to see your defense start the game.
This decision represents, I think, true tone deafness and an arrogance on the part of the McCaskies and Phillips, because it is exactly the opposite, I think, of what the Chicago Bear fans wanted. I think this represents really their inability to deal with a strong personality.
Like it, I suppose, you know, just for a starting step. You know, it's not one of these slam dunk hires.
George, do you have an identity for the Chicago Bears in mind?
Tough, gritty, smart, opportunistic, winning football.
Our loaf system and the hustle system. So if a guy comes in and he plays 25 plays, but a third of his plays are loafs, we will decrease his reps.
The coordinators who've trained properly and are now reaching middle age and are ready for their first crack. And so when I look at this group, I had not been in love with Matt Eberflus, but now looking at the hiring history over the last 5, 6, 7 years, those may be the guys who have a slightly better chance of success than others.
Matt Eberflus. Okay.
One, two, three,
and here we go. Here we go. Here we go, Jim. Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
We know the new brain trust for the Chicago Bears. It is first-time general manager Ryan Poles and first-time head coach Matt Eberflus. Eberflus, a former linebacker at Toledo.
Poles. Oh, Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
Right.
He told us. We should have seen it coming.
People keep waiting for when is George McCaskey going to speak? When is the press conference going to be?
Last January.
He's already told us that Ryan and Matt are the football guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard anything today, and if you missed Rod Marinelli, you know, it's coming up in 25 minutes. He was great. He was insightful. Marinelli, former Bears coach, obviously, the defensive coordinator in Dallas with Eberflus as his linebacker coach. I don't think you can hate it, and I think it's a pretty tough hire to love because the Colts defense was consistently solid to good, but he's a 51-year-old first-time coach, and you have problems on the offensive side of the ball. And this is a defensive coach who's never been a head coach at any level before. So it's tough to say it's a home run, but at least there's upside among the final. Like, we've seen Dan Quinn. We've seen Jim Caldwell.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this guy has the most upside of the three finalists.
It's possible. It's certainly possible. We'll get his thoughts on offense and special teams and overall football and not just defense. We've been pouring through all of his defensive stuff, and we know a lot about that at this point. But overall, what are you going to be? I love what our guy Chris Tannehill included there in the open, which is George McCaskey describing what kind of football they want to play. And when you think about the McCaskies and you think about Ryan Poles as well and how they bonded and what they might have bonded about, and Ryan Poles is an offensive lineman who loves line play, man, they got frustrated. I know it feels reactionary to offensive genius coming in and doubling down on bad ideas, tripling down on bad ideas, but it's pretty human reaction. When you've owned a football team for this long and you've watched a league for this long and you see the supposed offensive genius coordinator come in and be okay and then terrible and be stubborn and continue to do these things and frustrate us. Even you, Danny Parkins, lover of wide open football, found yourself calling for maximum protection and running plays and the screen game and those kind of things. So then when George describes what they want to play, I think that's how they're going to play, at least up front, at least at the beginning. Doesn't mean they're going to end up that way long term when they're at their best. But up front, I don't think this is going to be a team trying to be a 30 points per game offense and blowing you away with fanciness. I think they're going to try and be gritty and tough and defensive minded. And it's probably the right thing to do when you're not that talented.
Well, that last part's the key part,
right?
Because I think you want to always try to be a 30-point per game offense.
But they don't have the horses to be the Cliff Kingsbury Cardinals.
Right. You got to coach to your personnel.
Yep.
And we will see what Ryan Poles can do in terms of changing the offensive personnel. Can he get a better tight end? Can he get a number one receiver? Can he get a couple of wide receivers? Like, can he get a franchise tackle? Like, what can they do in one offseason? What jump can Justin Fields make from year one to year two? But who these guys are, like, I assume Matt Eberflus wants to score a bunch of points.
Yeah, I assume so too.
I just heard actually from a source that he doesn't.
Oh. Wow, I'm out.
Only score 16.
An acronym guy and an anti-points guy.
Yeah. Oh boy, that's
16
trouble.
16 points max is all they're going for.
But fire Eberflus.
Can you imagine looking out at your offense and being like, Cole Kmet, just do the thing that Travis Kelce does. Just do that thing.
Right.
Hey, Demir Byrd, go ahead and do your Tyreek Hill thing, and that'll work on this pattern. It doesn't.
It doesn't. I agree. He's got it. You've got to coach to the personnel that you have. And
if your personnel's not great, I'm sorry, but like,
no, you're fine.
If your talent guys are not great, then the easiest way to get yourself competitive and start to crawl is to be physical and strong and forthright the way that I think George wants to play.
I guess it's not exciting. It's not exciting, and I believe that it's potentially limiting on Justin Fields. Like, Justin Fields has not proven to be a Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow level prospect yet. He hasn't. But I think that's in there for him. So surrounding him with the talent, he is a deep ball downfield passer.
Absolutely.
So it would be a little crazy to me to not be an offense that takes some shots down the field and builds your offense for shots down the field. Now, you can do that off of play action.
You sure can. And imagine being really good at those kind of passes and executing them really well when you get a chance.
I mean, it would frustrate me greatly if it was a super conservative, limiting offense for him. And I don't have any reason to believe that it is going to be that, but it just, my questions for Eberflus immediately go to, what kind of offensive staff can you develop, and can there be continuity on that offensive staff if you hit it out of the park? Do you have enough connections around the league where your staff will be deep on the offensive side of the ball? Can you convince multiple good coaches to come coach Justin Fields without having a path to being the head coach of the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, it's great.
I don't know if he does. Right, I mean,
it's a great question, and the big one for me is: can you, as a leader, as a person, delineate between your friends you want to work with and you've been dying to work with, and the people who are going to be the best coaches of the ones you know? You know, because that's the danger. That's the danger, and those are the kind of things that you can learn from the first time around. Like, oof, I hired my pals, and it wasn't really the best thing.
Right.
So let's just hire the best people then instead.
And here's the thing. We're all getting to know Ryan Poles, and we all have to reserve some judgment on it. He has never done this job before. And we're all getting to know Matt Eberflus, and we have to reserve some judgment because he has never done this job before. But what we can do is we can apply process over results. And this process that arrived at these two names is different. We don't know if it's better, but it is different in that this is not Ernie Accorsi arranged marriage, John Fox, Ryan Pace. You have been able to report that not only was Matt, Ryan Poles exclusively one-on-one conducting these interviews with the three finalists, and not only were these finalists his finalists, but that he took over in a way that Bill Polian wasn't too thrilled about.
He drove the bus. He drove the bus on this stuff. And remember what I had shared yesterday, which was that along the way, I think maybe it was Tuesday even I shared it, that along the way, the GM candidates were asked, who would your head coaching people be?
Yeah.
Who would the people that you'd like to talk to if you were given this job? And along that way, during that process, Ryan Poles said Jim Caldwell, Matt Eberflus, and Dan Quinn. Those are the three that he said. That's why they had second interviews. Because he was the one who wanted to talk to them. And then what happened is when they picked him up at the airport, as you correctly pointed out, George is not picking up a guy for a second interview.
Right, that was already done.
That was done.
Yeah.
So that means it was done what? Earlier in the day? The night before? Who knows, right? So it was done by then, and they had got his recommendations on who we wanted to talk to. So then he gets here, and yesterday or 2 days ago, he interviews Caldwell. Yesterday, he interviews Eberflus and Dan Quinn, and he's the only guy in those rooms doing one-on-one interviews. And Bill Polian was not thrilled that Ryan Poles said, I would like to be in there one-on-one. So it wasn't the group of five. It wasn't the group of five in there interviewing these head coaches. Now, I don't know, maybe Poles went out of those rooms and went and talked to the group of five and they discussed everything and it might have been collaborative at that point. But what I was told very definitively by someone close to one of the other candidates is that it was Ryan Poles and Ryan Poles alone and Bill Polian was not thrilled.
That right there makes me happy because, A, it's different than how they arrived at. This is the fifth coach since George McCaskey has been in charge. So it's different than the previous four hiring processes, just on that one fact alone. And if that was a contingency for Ryan Poles to get the job, hey, I was a finalist in New York, I was a finalist in Carolina last year, and I'm a finalist in Minneapolis, and I can fly there in the morning and get that gig. Also, and they changed course to say, okay, whoa, we want you. We were going to make this a five-person committee,
mm-hmm.
but now we'll turn it over to you for this part. That shows some flexibility,
yeah.
To the and it shows some like autonomy for a first-time general manager, like,
which is what he should have. And I don't know for sure that that's the way that played out. I kind of assume that is, but I don't know.
Either. I don't either. But I'm just saying, if Matt Nagy, just to make the comp to the last time, like if Matt Nagy maybe oversold how much he liked Mitch Trubisky in order to get the job.
Yeah.
And maybe he didn't. Maybe he really was his second quarterback in that class, and he just ended up being wrong about Mitch Trubisky. That's certainly possible, too. But sometimes you tell your employer what you want to hear, and you go with the flow to get the job. Ryan Poles is a 36-year-old, says, no, like, I need to take over, to a point where Bill Polian apparently was not happy with how much he was running the show.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot for a 36-year-old first-time executive to push out a highly paid consultant who's in the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? Like that shows some moxie and some autonomy for Ryan Poles.
Yeah, and since that has come out, and I tweeted earlier, a lot of people are saying, well, I'm getting a lot of responses. Like, of course that's what people at Hallis Hall want you to think. Because I know it represents pretty well for the Bears in a way that kind of surprises me. That's not where my info is coming from. As I told you where it's coming from. Some people close to one of the candidates. So,
yeah,
I know it represents well. It's a surprise. It's a surprise to me and a pleasant surprise, frankly.
And we'll see how they spin it. You know, like they
may not say that. They may not want to say that.
They said, that you know, in the thing last night that Ryan Poles conducted second interviews with Dan Quinn and Jim Caldwell and Matt Eberflus. That was mm-hmm. the wording from the Bears social media team yesterday. But whenever this press conference is, and if George speaks again, we'll see, like, did you change like the process that you described to us, whatever that was now, 2 weeks ago? Did it change because Ryan Poles asked you to change it?
Yeah.
It seems like the answer to that is yes. Let's hear a little bit more Matt Eberflus. You're going to hear Rod Marinelli coming up in a little bit. We've heard Matt Eberflus mic'd up. We've heard him on the hits principle, hustle, intensity, taking the ball away, smart situationally. But this idea of loafing, which you'll hear us talk about with Rod Marinelli in a little bit, how that influences playing time in the words of new Bears coach Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, so we're always searching for guys that are, you know, that can play eight guys on the defensive line. And we really base it mostly off of our loaf system and the hustle system. So if a guy comes in and he plays 25 plays, but a third of his plays are loafs, we will decrease his reps. And until he can play at the level we need him to play at in terms of his hustle and his hitting and his execution. And that's across the board. And when a guy shows that he can be on our all hustle team, which is a 90% hustle grade, then he can play as many plays as he's able to execute. And there's guys in there that are doing that. You know, Grover Stewart does a great job. Muhammad does a great job. There's a lot of guys in there that Buck does a great job of hustling every single play. And those guys are on the all hustle team every single week. And that's what we're searching for. And the rotation will be based on those guys that can play hard every single snap with good technique.
It sounds good. Sounds a little high school-y, right? Like, if you don't play hard, you sit. That only works for so long in the NFL with high-priced professionals.
I don't know, man. Reading about this stuff, it's like he told some of the veterans when he took over there in Indy, he said, this is going to be the hardest you've ever worked. And they're like, oh, come on, man. What kind of? And at the end of the year, they were like, yeah, you're right. You're right. This is the hardest I ever worked because they wanted to play.
If you can convince, you know, eight-figure athletes to play extra hard,
yeah,
that is coaching. That motivation, teaching, like, you know, it. I got to admit, like, a lot of what we've heard of him today comes across, and this will sound like, oh, of course, Parkins, it's obvious. Like, it sounds like very coachy. It sounds sure. A little corny. Little cliched, but everyone says when he's in the room, he's a great leader, and that it comes across really well.
These guys want to be coached hard and play hard. Think about the way that the Bears alumni talk about playing for Lovey and playing together. And I know those teams didn't win as much as you wanted to, but those defenses, we'd all sign up for those defenses and what they did. Think about the way Briggs and Urlacher and Mike Brown and Peanut Tillman talk about it. Think the way Pat Manley, like, lets us into those meetings and those conversations. They loved being coached hard. They loved that they all worked hard with each other, for each other. They loved playing for him, and they loved training for turnovers and making them sustainable and making it happen. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. And one of the connective tissues is Rod Marinelli.
Yeah, so I'll be honest with you. Like, as we've gone through the whole thing today, I think of the three finalists, Eberflus it's the biggest bust potential and the biggest home run potential of the three because he's never done it before. I wanted it to be Brian Flores, and if not Brian Flores, I wanted it to be an offensive coach. Like, Denver hiring Nathaniel Hackett.
Yep.
Is real, because to me he's a little bit younger, but it's Matt Eberflus but offense.
Hey, you know what? Let me say, if you found a guy like this who was an offensive mind, I would choose it 100 times out of 100.
And I think that of the two that have been hired so far, and again, Nathaniel Hackett is younger, but he's seen as great communicator, great teacher, easy to relate to, but offensive guy.
Sure, but we don't know about these guys as people. I don't know about Brian Daboll and his personality. I'll tell you this much. If Brian Daboll doesn't get the Giants job, now that Joe Shane of Buffalo is their GM, that will be a big old red flag on the personality and hireability of Brian Daboll.
Yeah, maybe he interviews poorly.
Correct.
You know, I mean, maybe he's not
leader material, and you're going to end up with a guy who's either stubborn or insecure or whatever.
Yeah, or maybe these teams are idiots. People miss on hires all the time. You know,
it's
tough. We are dealing with limited information here, and we have literally never seen this guy do this job. So to have a definitive, it's going to be great or it's going to be bad reaction today is tough. I think cynicism for the Bears hire is only natural. I'm encouraged that it's different. And if I had my druthers, he would not have been my choice, because if it wasn't going to be Harbaugh, McDaniels, Flores, and it was going to be first-time head coach, I would have gone offensive coach. Just for, it's the best shot in my mind for Justin Fields to have success.
Every time we play or reference him talking about loafing and loafs,
yeah,
where we talk about his grading system, his quantifiable grading system, we get like 8 or 12 texts, prayers up for Eddie Jackson. Every single time.
Yeah.
That's the first guy everybody thinks of.
Of course. Yeah, his reputation.
Yeah.
Talk about a fall.
Dude, when Wani's talking about, like, yeah, there's going to be some guys that are going to have to let go or whatever, like, everybody's saying, oh, I think he's talking about Eddie. That's a serious fall, man.
I mean, the guy was the highest paid safety in football and was listed as the number, he was a top 100 Bear for the centennial season. A top 100 Bear of all time after like 2 years in the league. And now nobody likes him anymore. It's an incredible fall from grace. We're hoping that we get to hear from Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles as soon as tomorrow. Reports are that Dave Borgonzi, linebacker coach in Indianapolis, is going to be coming with Eberflus. Mike Borgonzi is an executive that Ryan Poles was with in the front office in Kansas City, so there's a triumvirate of a connection there. Kevin Petullo, passing game coordinator for the Eagles, is reportedly in the mix, potentially for offensive coordinator here in Chicago. Wani gave him an endorsement. But Rod Marinelli, he knows this Tampa 2 cover 2 defense that Matt Eberflus runs, likely going to be converting the Bears back to a 4-3. Matt Eberflus was his linebacker coach in Dallas when he was the defensive coordinator. He was fantastic and gave us a lot of insight into the coach, the leader, and the scheme that Matt Eberflus is coming to Chicago. Rod Marinelli next on the screen.
I was with Rod for several years, five, I believe, in Dallas. And I just know that when you get this thing humming the right way, it's a way where you can really get takeaways and you can really do a great job of creating momentum for your football team.
Right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world. Largest sportsbook, longtime Bears coach. He was the defensive coordinator in Dallas when Matt Eberflus was his linebacker coach. And Coach Marinelli, kind enough to join us now on the Score. Coach, how you doing today?
I'm doing terrific. How are you doing?
We're doing very, very well. Can you tell Bears fans about Matt Eberflus, please?
Certainly. Let me start with the man first. You know, I think that's the most important thing. And just a terrific family man. A terrific, loyal coach all the way through it. I mean, the things he stands for, I think, are really important. And the discipline and those type of things as a person, great communicator. You know, as a coach, I've kind of hit some of those things I think are critical, his ability to communicate to all. And I think setting a standard, setting a foundation is what he'll do. And he's done that. He did a terrific job of that, of helping rebuild the roster and then rebuild that defense up in Indy. And we did the same with Dallas when he was here. So I think he checks every box that I can see.
You know, Bears fans of a certain age have such a fond memory of you. Don't even have to be of a certain age, really, Rod. It's not that long ago, the time for you here. But you and Lovie Smith, going back to the Tampa 2 with Tony Dungy, how is a head coach supposed to function when they are a defensive guy? Like, should he be the defensive coordinator as well? Should he delegate that? How is it supposed to function with Matt Eberflus and his staff?
You know, I don't want to speak for Matt, but I mean, I think he'll do a great job of understanding the role, the responsibility of a head coach, especially game day, about managing a game. And, you know, all the field position, situational football is huge. And I'm sure he's going to get a man in there that's going to run the defense the way he wants it. And that allows him, once that happens, to have an overseer of the entire franchise. That's, to me, sometimes is a missing link in hiring a head coach, a guy that doesn't have a vision for the entire organization and how the special teams look and exactly what you want on defense and exactly what you're looking for on offense. Then have an ability to go out and find the right coaches. Don't have to be headliners. Find the right coaches that can teach. And then you as a head coach make sure they work as a heartbeat, as a staff. That's, and to me, how you win.
And Coach, will he have the respect of those other grown men, those other coaches, to teach them how he wants them to teach the players?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm saying what he'll do. To me, the good head coaches I've been around some really good ones, and they want to make sure you coach the coaches in terms of things, how to do it, not so much what you're doing. You hire, you should know that before you hire them, but it's how you do it, your drill work, You want to see what kind of drills they run. EDDs, everyday type of drills. What are your standards for your position? And then each position standards should have clarity to it and then a meaning as a whole staff. And I think that is such a big role of a head coach. I go back to Coach Dungy like that and guys that I've had been around is the standards of position, the standards, what are you looking for? And that's what you're able to hold all coaches accountable to.
Rod Marinelli is our guest. He was a mentor for Matt Eberflus, new Bears head coach, just announced earlier today. 51 years old, getting his first chance at being a head coach. Why do you think it took this long for Matt?
I don't think it's a long time. I guess by today's standards, I guess you should say. But to me, he's paid his dues. He's worked at it. And the thing, it's not just having a 1 year, 2 year explosion as a coordinator. It's all the way from college football up that you're laying the foundation to be a head coach. What does the foundation look like? That's number one. You've got to understand that as you're taking a job. And what do you want this team to represent to the city in all three phases, not in one phase? And so the structure, and I think he's had the chance to be around some really good head coaches along the route. And that's the key, being around some really top-notch guys who understand the role of that position. So that's what's going to make, I think, him really, really outstanding. And I've always used this phrase, the last thing to show in a successful business is profit. You have to do it. You have to do it the right way. And he's been trained through his career is to do things the right way. And then you have something lasting and something that everybody's going to be pretty dang proud of.
What did you teach him? Like where when we point to Matt Eberflus and we say he learned fill in the blank from Rod Marinelli, what are we talking about?
I say what the whole, I mean, getting the entire unit on the same page and being an effort-based defense, an effort-based football team, an effort-based special teams, that is a base standard of what you're looking for because that will show up every week of the season. It should. And then the takeaways and, you know, how to get the ball out. Those type of things, you know, and the basic fundamentals of football. And that's where you're looking at every position coach, like I was saying, is on top of the details. If you give a man 20 to 25 minutes of individual period, you got to be accountable for that now. You better be accountable. And because those are precious minutes in a day. And so hopefully those are some of the things that we have talked about over the years, and something that's really important to me. And then understanding the tradition of the defense and how to build a tradition.
Coach, he seems to have taken loafs from you. He counts when players are loafing during practice, he counts them up, says, oh, that's two loafs on you, and playing time is affected by loafs. Is that your invention, or did you get that from Dungy or somebody else along the way?
Well, I brought it up to college, to Coach Dungy, that part of the loaf. We always had, you know, pursuit drill and those type of things. But I always felt when they're going to ask a man to go hard, that you make sure you have something that's accountable so everybody's accountable, not just one, not just two. So each man has to know that they're accountable to each other. One lose, all lose. And so that loaf thing is comes out as something of pride. You have a great deal of pride over a period of time. And then it's something that not many people do because it's really, it's not fun to do. You know, you have to, every film you watch, you got to spend detailed time. Okay, and we have a standard what a loaf is. So you got to go through each part of it. We did that when I was in Chicago. And what is a loaf? And I think after a period of time, that's why guys play fast, because they know there's a gradable, measurable standard for that.
Makes all the sense in the world. Absolutely. The loaf. So, all right, so you are the inventor of the loafs. How about the peanut punch, which Darius Leonard, he might be the best peanut puncher in the NFL. That's Matt Eberflus's guy there in Indianapolis. Is that from Peanut? Is that from you? He's, either way, he's teaching that too, isn't he?
Oh, we just emphasize. I showed him a lot. We're in Dallas. We showed a lot of Tillman, his tapes. We showed him. And even Brian Urlacher knocked him out. Those guys, Briggs would just hit him out. And guy has a different style. But Matt took it, you know, and just really ran with it. I mean, just did an incredible job of takeaways.
Yeah, and top 10 in takeaways the last 3 years in Indianapolis.
Yeah. One, it's like loaves, it's emphasized. You usually get what you really, really emphasize. And so you can't have 50 things you're going to emphasize. And that's why I think it's going to be good with Matt, the clarity of what he wants. And they'll all be measurable and where the players can see it. And that's when I think it's really, really effective.
We're talking to Rod Marinelli here on The Score. Yeah, we dream of Roquan Smith taking that next level, playing that Will linebacker spot like Darius Leonard and getting him up to that level. Is that, I would imagine Matt Eberflus would be pretty excited to get some influence on Roquan Smith.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in that position, has, in this system, has a long history. You know, it goes back to Derek Brooks and Lance Briggs and all the way up. I mean, the Will linebacker and the one he has in Indy and Sean Lee and in Dallas. So Matt knows what it looks like, and he's coached it. And so that's one of the key components to it. And they got one there, obviously.
So he fits that more than the Urlacher middlebacker or Hardy Nickerson middle linebacker role. He's more of the Brooks and Briggs.
You know, I can't speak without saying the whole thing. I was just trying to give you what the Will is.
Yep.
And that would be something that, you know, Matt will go in and decide. But this system has a long history of the Mike backer and the Will backer. It's always been something pretty special. And he's done that in Indy.
Rod Marinelli is our guest. Matt Eberflus, new Bears head coach, was the linebacker coach for Rod Marinelli as the defensive coordinator in Dallas. Coach, excuse me. I had said that I wanted an offensive coach, if all things being equal, because the Bears have Justin Fields. They have to develop him. And the concern or the scary part is the offense takes off, but you've got a defensive head coach, and then the offensive coordinator leaves and gets a head coaching job, and you have to start over. What influences on Justin Fields and the Bears offense can we expect from someone who you know so well in Matt Eberflus?
I just think he's going to create the right environment. The environment is everything. And it shouldn't go leave every time a coordinator leaves. You should have the continuity of what you want. The key, and what I think Matt's one of Matt's strengths, is that he's very intelligent. And he's going to go out and find the right fits and make sure they sit down. And he has a great understanding of pass offense, defending it his whole career, and what it should look like. Now, in every position you have, from an offensive line coach, you've got to make the right hires. It doesn't have to be headliners. It could be, and I've said this before when I was with Coach Dungy, our first staff in Tampa, you know, Lovey came from Ohio State. I came from USC. We got Mike Tomlin from University of Cincinnati. Herm Edwards was scouting in Kansas City. But he saw certain things that he wanted from each coach, teachers. And that's what Matt is used to. He understands that. And I think that's where he'll do a terrific job. I mean, he brought Mike Shula in from the Chicago Bears, who was a tight end coach, and made him the offensive coordinator in Tampa with Coach Dungy. So he knew what he was looking for, what he wanted. He did the same thing in Indy when he went there.
You know, it's interesting. We do want this head coach to know offense, too. And as you say, he's been defending the passing game. He was also the passing game coordinator with you while you guys were in Dallas, right? It's interesting. That's a crossover position. I saw Raheem Morris had the same position in Tampa a few years back. It's interesting to see a defensive coach be a passing game coordinator. How does that work, Rod?
No, it's a defensive pass coordinator.
Okay, it is defensive. Okay, we're trying to figure that out. Yeah.
No. We worked together, and I gave him that title of being the defensive pass coordinator, and did a terrific job with all that. But, you know, I just think over the years you see what you want out of that position, and then it gives you real clarity to go out and hire the type of teachers that you want to teach your system and develop. And some of the keys, some guys can come in with the greatest scheme in the world, but they can't develop the position. And the key relationship it takes, the leadership part of it is critical. The confidence level is critical, belief system. And because there's a lot to that, and you're tied to the hip together. And there's been a lot of really terrific defensive head coaches in this league over the years that put together great offenses. And I see the same thing with some of the great offensive minds in this league, put together terrific defenses. And Sean McVay, mm-hmm. I mean, he's a defensive coach, and he has put together a terrific defense and, helped build that roster. So it comes down to the leadership, the understanding of what you want, the clarity of it, and then I think you got a chance to grow.
Coach, for those of us who are going to be looking out at this defense, say, oh, boy, that looks like the Tampa 2. Where's Mike Brown? Where's Adewale Ogunleye? Like, how has this evolved? What's going to be different? Or how has Matt taken the defense forward, if he has? Because the league has changed as well.
Oh, yeah. But one thing the league demands is speed and athleticism on defense and pass rushers. That never changes. And some of your concepts and coverages adjust here and there, but it's going to start up usually starts up front. He's got did a nice job in Indy in terms of filling that front with some really good ball players, him and Chris Ballard. And so he understands what it takes, and we got a great nucleus there, but now it's about the effort-based every day. You know, who are you? And you represent the monsters of the Midway. I mean, those type of things. Physical and tradition. And Matt understands that.
You know, you're the defensive line coach for the Raiders. Any chance of a reunion in Chicago under Coach Eberflus?
Well, right now I'm with the Raiders, right? And really, I got an old buddy there, Rich Passaccia, so I'm waiting on to see what's going to happen with Rich.
Okay. Well, you know, we're hoping to be able to talk to Coach Eberflus in the next couple of days. You know, you talked about the coaching and the style and all of that. Anything personal? What, you know, when you guys are just hanging out after a game, you're having a beer, you're going over some film, like, what is he personally like to interact with? Kind of give us some of that color for our audience.
Just, I keep coming back because the really good coaches I've been around, fortunate to be around, always really smart. And he is smart and organized. And our conversations always kind of, when you love football, that's what our conversations were always about. Maybe a construction of a drill, or how do you do this better, or how do you do that better. This guy's 24/7 now. And he comes in there, and it's going to be high energy and good, great standards for the players. He's got the ability to step on a man's shoe and leave a shine. And not everybody can do that. it's really an art. And that's when I think when you understand bringing people together and discipline people, it's for the right reasons. And people know that, but they don't communicate that well enough sometimes to players. So he does. You know, I think that's why this guy's going to be successful. There's no doubt in my mind, none. And when you talk to him, you'll see it.
Okay.
That's great stuff. Step on a man's shoe and leave a shine. Coach, congrats on the run with the Raiders. It was nice to see how that team responded to Rich Passaccia and you. And this was a treat to connect here and think about those old Bears teams and the new Bears team to come. So thank you for the time. We appreciate it.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate what you do for the city of Chicago very much.
Well, thank you, Coach. That's Rod Marinelli, a significant influence in Matt Eberflus, the new Bears head coach. Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
She's got the ability to step on a man's shoe and leave a shine.
Redirect.
What a day.
Big, big day. Enjoyable show. Thank you to the listeners for being here and enduring the news amidst the goofiness.
Yeah.
Or the goofiness amidst the news, however it breaks down for you.
But that's how that's the goal, right? It's a big newsy day,
yeah.
But it's still sports. It's not that serious.
Correct.
So we can make fun of acronyms and floos and the whole thing.
Yeah, so that's why we pull the less lever to get us from the news to the goofiness or the goofiness to the news.
That's right. So Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles is your new brain trust. We are expecting to have Gary Pinkel on the show tomorrow. He coached Matt Eberflus when he was a linebacker at Toledo, then brought him onto his staff at Toledo, then brought him with him to Missouri. His first mentor kind of taught him how to be a coach. Gary Pinkel expected to be on the show tomorrow. We've got a Colts player booked for Monday's show. We don't know yet when we're going to hear from Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, but we'll be all over it as we always are.
Flula says Eberflus with us tomorrow.
Flula.
Flula Borg say Matt Eberflus tomorrow.
See, if you can't find Terry Bores to say Matt Eberflus, then you find Flula Borg.
That's perfect. That's perfect. Bears All Access is coming up after us. Thank you to Connor O'Donnell. He runs the Twitch chat and the video stream. Thank you, sir. Shane Reardon has been crushing it always, but certainly this week. Thank you to our executive producer, Shane Reardon. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. For Scoop Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins Spiegel. This is The Score.
Fried chicken, yeah. Closer to the weekend, Thursday, and then Friday, here comes the weekend.